I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It is coming up on 309, 89 degrees on this Wednesday. It's hump day, July 16th, 2025. Hopefully the traffic is out of our area, and then we're just dealing with normal rush hour stuff. But the vice president was in town. I was down in West Pittston from about 9:30 this morning till I got in the studio about 20 minutes before the show started here. It was going to be close, you know, with all the road closures and unknown how long he was going to speak and how many speakers there were going to be. But he spoke for about 20 minutes. He said they slotted him 12 minutes, but I don't know if that's entirely the case because Secret Service told me he was going to speak for about 20 minutes. And he spoke for just over that. Kelly Loeffler, Small Business Association Administrator, was there. She introduced him. Congressman Rob Bresnahan was there, although I did not see him. I did see his fiancée, Chelsea Strube, who was in the crowd there. Did see Jamie Walsh, who we have an interview with that we'll play for you later. Deborah Pugh and a bunch of other individuals. Chris Chermak, Lackawanna County Commissioner, I did see there. The District Attorney from Wyoming County, Joe Peters, was there. So, it was probably, when all said and done, about 120, 150 people that were there. And it was a tight space to pack into. They did have some chairs up front for some people who were on a guest list. And then they had a standing room behind that and then the press behind that. So, I'll get some videos up for you later. I did video both the small business administrator and her introduction and things that she had to say and the vice president was there, and it was a good message, good day, and a lot of people enjoyed themselves. Now, there was some talk this morning I heard about protesters being there. I did not see any. There were none outside the venue that I saw, and I was out there the whole morning. They were supposed to let us in about 10:30. They didn't let us in until about 11:45. So it was outside. It was hot. I will give the advance team a lot of credit that they were bringing out cases of water regularly because it was hot. Everyone was in the sun, and it was pretty – my shirt was drenched just standing out there doing a couple of interviews that I did. So it was kudos to them for ferrying those cases of water out until everyone had a bottle of water. And then when they were done, they came back out with more cases and replenished that. So I've been drinking bottles of water. I think I sweat most of it out, but if we have to take a break here and there, we'll see what's going on. So we have a lot to bring you today. I did interview T.J. Fitzgerald of the NEPA Republicans was there. I did interview State Representative Jamie Walsh. Not only did he talk about this event, but he talked about what's going on in Harrisburg and the stalemate down there with the budget that's already weeks late. And I spoke to Dwayne McDevitt, who was the founder of Bikers for Trump, was there with his crew always. And got those interviews coming on to you on the line later. And again, we do have it's about a 5 or 6 minute introduction from Administrator Kelly Loeffler, the Small Business Association, Loeffler. And then the vice president himself, who spoke for just over 20 minutes. It was a very short and poignant speech, very good to the point of why he was here. You know, there's the Don's Mechanic Shop that was there over four decades in that office, started in his garage with one machine and built it up to 36 employees. I was able to speak to some of the employees. Some of the employees were fans of the show and do play the show in their shop. They are mostly a day shift because I asked what shifts do they work, how many shifts are there. They're mostly a day shift organization, but they do work a lot of overtime, especially when jobs come in. You know, when I was talking with my friend Sue Henry on the show before mine from 12 to 3, called in at the beginning of her show, they said that where a lot of manufacturers, major manufacturers, Procter & Gamble, Pfizer, a bunch of these manufacturers that use heavy equipment and need stuff machined to replace some of the things that, break down for them. They used to keep surplus. They used to keep stock in things that used to wear or break. And they don't do that because of cost-cutting measures now. They kind of wait till it breaks. So when something breaks and their assembly lines go down at something like Procter & Gamble, well, they want their equipment yesterday. They want the piece that they need yesterday. So these companies do work a lot of overtime. They depend on their overtime. They make a good salary, but they depend on their overtime to just kind of push them up a little bit. And they were all stoked about the no tax on overtime. There were big signs and billboards outside, electric billboard outside of Don's machine shop that said no tax on OT, no tax on tips. Thank you, Vice President J.D. Vance, President Trump. So these are the people that do the work day in and day out, and this is what means a lot to them. So it was good to get on the ground and talk to them. It's a fabulous machine shop. And again, from starting over 40 years ago, 1982, over 40 years ago in their garage with one machine, they had several laser machines, laser jet machines and water jet machines there. Thankfully, their AC worked phenomenal when we were inside, but you pack 150 people in there, plus press, plus Secret Service, hot lights, equipment. You know, it was better than outside, I'll tell you that, but it started to warm up towards the end of that event. And we're going to play later in the show the remarks from Vice President J.D. Vance at this event. And it was, like I said, very well received. But it was, you know, the hometown crowd there to see them. And again, as far as protesters and such, I did not see any. There could be there. I'm not saying there weren't, but they weren't on that block. They weren't in the surrounding blocks when I drove away or drove there. Again, I got there pretty early before most people got there. But leaving, I was leaving with the main crowd that was leaving. Everybody was walking back to their car. There was a staging area for parking about a mile and a half away that they had a shuttle bus going back and forth from. But all in all, a good event. It was a hot event. It was a good event for this area. I mean, it's not a campaign season, and I heard this brought up on Sue Henry's show. It's not campaign season, but here we have a major national politician, our Vice President of our United States, coming to our backyard to talk about manufacturing here in Pennsylvania. Just yesterday, you had this AI and energy summit out in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, talking about billions of dollars of investment here in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is on the cusp of leading this nation into the next level of American manufacturing, of American energy independence, of American know-how. And let's celebrate that. Let's grasp that. Political differences aside, there's nothing here to not like. People's jobs, people in our backyard, our friends, our neighbors, making things for things we all depend on. I mean, this machine shop, like I said, machines parts for Procter & Gamble all the time was one of the main, one of the big names that kept coming up. There were many more. But, you know, I think we all use Procter & Gamble products that they put out there, from our paper products to our toilet paper to everything else. So things that help the workers, that make sure those machines keep running, I think we can all celebrate that, and we should. So we're going to talk about this. We're going to bring you the interviews and what was going on later in the show. But we also do have our own things going on here. Yesterday, last night, there was the Scranton City Council meeting where the motion did pass for the amended parking agreement to where there'll be no parking fees on Saturdays, but they did extend the weekday parking from 5 to 7 p.m. each day. Now, the whole thing, this worked, and I implore you to watch the meeting, because you have members like City Council Member Bill King saying, you know, I lived in this city through default once before, and I'm not going to have us go through it again. Well, why does it have to get to that? Why is it the if and or? And if you look at this company, Grow America, I started digging into them last night. Grow America is the nonprofit that partners with the municipalities. They have $100 plus million in assets around the nation. It took me a little bit to find their IRS paperwork because they are registered in New York, nothing to do with Pennsylvania. They're a nationwide company, but I was able to get their EIN number and look at their tax returns and look at how much their board member makes And it's a pretty penny. Their board of 10 people make over $3 million. But yet the bonds here in for our Scranton parking assets were going to go into default because they don't know how to manage that asset to make money. And the more I dug into this, it's interesting because their CEO is president and CEO of Grow America, which was formerly NDC. Now, NDC is what the group that made the agreement with the Scranton City of Scranton for the parking assets to lease it for 45 years in 2016. Daniel Marsh III, who's now the president and CEO, was an executive then as well and was one of the main people because I found a press release on the them obtaining the lease to the asset of the Scranton Parking Authority. And he was the one touting that agreement. He was the one that spearheaded that agreement, and now he's the president and CEO of Grow America. Just 4 months ago on his LinkedIn. Now, remind you, they came to the city and said, hey, because of COVID, we lost a lot of money. We're going to need you guys to pitch in more. I know we had a 45-year lease agreement, but, you know, we just can't make ends meet. And if you guys don't pitch in more and help with maintenance and do what you can, we're going to let these bonds go to default. And because you still own these assets, you get dinged with that default as well. Actually, more than we do, because we're just leasing it. And we could walk away from that lease and sue us, don't sue us, you know, whatever it is that happens at that point. And that's an oversimplification, but you get what I'm saying. But just 4 months ago in LinkedIn, Daniel Marsh III, who's the president and CEO of Grow America, wrote a story in his LinkedIn showing how great Grow America is doing financially. This was just 4 months ago. And this is what he wrote. And I posted this on my social media. Exciting news for Grow America. I'm incredibly proud to share that Standard & Poor Global Ratings has assigned Grow America an A-plus issuer credit rating with a stable outlook. This recognition underscores our strong financial position, discipline management, and unwavering commitment to expanding economic opportunities for underserved communities. With, get this, $81.3 million in equity and a 5-year average net equity to assets ratio of 18.8%, this rating affirms our ability to continue investing in housing, small business, and community development while ensuring long-term sustainability. At Grow America, our mission has always been clear: increase access to capital, create jobs, and build stronger communities. This rating is a testament to the dedication of our team, the strength of our partners, and the impact we are making nationwide. Thank you, everyone who supports our work. We are just getting started. Any hashtag economic development, hashtag Grow America, hashtag community impact, hashtag finance for good, and hashtag again community development. So 4 months ago, they got an A-plus bond rating from Standard & Poor credit rating, and they're touting how great financially they're doing. But yet they're coming to the city of Scranton and saying, oh, you know, we need help. We need you guys to pitch in more. You're going to have to give, well, at the time it was $200,000 a year extra, plus take care of some maintenance. Now it's $250,000 for at least the first 3 years when they revisit the Saturday parking fees. So what happened between 4 months ago and now? Well, the more you look into Grow America, the more you look into this, they specialize in going into going after, let me see, so I put it, looking into Grow America and what recently transpired here in Scranton, it appears that they target financially distressed municipal entities they see potential to make money in while navigating financial turnaround for the said entity. Of course, right, they were going to get involved in this mismanaged, this failing, distressed asset here, our parking authority. But in the case of Scranton, which is all I've really dug into, but I'm starting to see other news stories about this organization, when the gamble falls short, which happened here, they threaten a default to gain better terms from the municipal while touting how successful, financially stable they are, a nonprofit entity. Because per the lease agreement, the city of Scranton is still the property owner, leaving the taxpayer on the hook of Scranton. So, again, on one hand, the president CEO of this organization is touting how financially stable they are, how great they're doing, how they're helping communities all over the place. But on the other hand, they're telling Scranton, listen, you don't pitch in more to the tune of over $2 million over the next 10 years and plus handle some power washing and some maintenance issues. We're going to let these bonds default. And because your name's on the bond as the property owner, because Scranton is still the property owner of these assets, well, your credit rating gets beating too. So it's basically a hostage situation, and you have no choice but to come to some sort of agreement. Do you take over the asset and shovel in $36, $35 million, $32 million? Do you just take it back and walk away from this group? Well, they know most times they can't do that. Or do you do something like this where you put the onus on the taxpayer, you guys, and say, you're going to have to pay more because we're not making the money we thought we were going to make on this. We're going to get into more like their salaries when we come back from the break. But in the meantime, let me tell you about the Good Feet store located right here in Scranton on the corner of Route 6 and Commerce Boulevard across from the Olive Garden. They're making it easier than ever to feel your best. I've had the Good Feet arch supports in my shoes for the past 2 years. I have them in my shoes right now. I don't know if I would have been able to get through the day without them. Say goodbye to foot pain and hello to personalized comfort with these Good Feet arch supports. There's no waiting. The arch supports are immediately available, and you can experience a difference today with a free test walk. And what I love about them, they're proudly made here in the USA. So do what I did. Visit them at 1945 Commerce Boulevard in Scranton across from the Olive Garden. You could call them at 570-534-0980 or check them out online at goodfeet.com because you're not going anywhere. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. I got some text message in, somebody saying that they were one of the protesters and they were on Exeter down by the Borough Building. I got another texter that says there were protesters down by the Borough Building. They must have been gone by the time I passed. Again, I got there early, so I wouldn't have seen them at the time I arrived. But leaving, I drove right by the Borough Building, so they must have been all packed up and gone. I didn't say they weren't there. I said I didn't see any, but I take your word for it. But again, I drove by right as the event ended. As a matter of fact, I had to drive around downtown Pittston because the motorcade made a stop there for for some snacks. And it was fun trying to get around it because they had everything shut down in downtown Pittston. But I drove right by the Borough Building, didn't see anything by the time it ended. And again, it took me about 15 minutes to get out of there once it ended and got my car and headed out. So, we're going to talk about the sinkholes and everything else here. As far as the board for this Grow America, I was able to pull up their 990s, their IRS tax returns, and I posted some of it. This is public information. I posted some of the snapshots online. I think it's a fit.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
50-page tax return. But the board members, there's 10 board members. And I'm just going to read off some of the salaries of those board members and some of the other perks and benefits that they get. Salary for, and this is in no particular order, and I'm not going to name them. I'm just going to go down the list because the way the spreadsheet works out, it's hard to get the names with the amount. $643,757. That's the highest paid member of that board. $333,542 is the next board member. $310,304. $300,203, $295,777, $289,131, $288,597, $250,420, $237,257, and the lowest person on that board makes $178,418. Now, they also have things like non-taxable benefits. One of them makes $18,000 in non-taxable benefits. One makes almost $46,000 in non-taxable benefits. Two of them make $45,000 in non-taxable benefits. Another makes $40,000. Another makes $19,000. Another makes $32,000. Another makes $43,000, $16,000, and $42,000. That's all non-taxable benefits. And on top of their salary, they also get retirement and other deferred compensation. And that ranges anywhere from $172,600 down to $11,808, with the majority of those retirement and other deferred compensation in the $40,000 range. One's $45,000, $45,500, $41,000, $41,000, $53,000, $42,000, $43,000, and $35,000, with the lowest being $11,800. And that's retirement benefits. And again, I posted all this on my social media, so you could check it out there. So financially distressed, huh? They might have to go in default with the bonds here, $30-something million dollars in bonds for $40,000 in bonds, $30-something million dollars in bonds that may go or would have gone into default, leaving the taxpayer on the hook. But it doesn't seem this organization's on the hook for anything. And like I said, as per their tax return, they have $143 million in total assets. $143 million in total assets. But they needed another $250,000 a year from you guys, the Scranton taxpayers. It's 3:31 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's 3:37 here, 89 degrees on this Wednesday. So back in September 1st of 2016 is when the National Development Council, NDC, now known as Grow America, the nonprofit, put out a statement. National Development Council and Scranton finalize a $32 million parking system transaction. The deal puts the city of Scranton on a path to economic recovery. And I posted this as well. So again, this is dated September 1st, 2016. The National Development Council, the oldest and most comprehensive economic development nonprofit in the country, announced today the closing of a parking system transaction with the city of Scranton effective August 30th, 2016. This is one of the largest and most important financial transaction in the city's history and serves as a model for how municipalities can monetize assets while maintaining control and ownership. Well, I guess that didn't come to fruition, right? NDC, through its public-private partnership affiliate and Housing and Economic Development Corporation, completed negotiations on the complicated transaction that involves six parking structures and all on-street parking meters in downtown Scranton. Negotiated price, which will be paid for with the proceeds of a 40-year tax-exempt bond issued on behalf of NDC by the Scranton-Lackawanna Health and Welfare Authority and sold by Citibank, is $32 million. This amount will be paid up front to the city by HEDC, and all proceeds in excess of operating expenses, debt service, and capital repairs and replacement will be returned to the city in the form of grants. I guess that didn't come to fruition either. It's costing us more money. When the investment in communities, the top priority is to the community itself, said Executive Vice President Daniel Marsh. He's the one who's the CEO and president now. When we invest in communities, the top priority is to the community itself, said Daniel Marsh. NDC is not obligated to far-flung investors seeking a return. Through a partnership we form with the municipality, the city of Scranton will retain ownership of its asset and participate in key decisions affecting the operation of the system. That is the NDC difference. I guess that didn't come to fruition either, now did it? NDC was chosen in an RFP process initiated by the city in 2015, seeking a private entity to restructure its parking assets. The resulting transaction stipulates that NDC is entering into a lease concession agreement on six parking structures, four leased from the city and two from the private owner, Steamtown 300. NDC has hired ABM Parking to manage all six structures, which includes, you know, so 2,600 parking spaces as well as 1,400, almost 1,500 on-street meters. When all the debt has been retired, ownership of the parking system will return to the city. Closing this transaction is the biggest step yet on the road to budget stability and economic recovery for the city of Scranton. In 2012, the city's finances suffered a blow when city council declined to fulfill its obligation to cover debt obligations that the Scranton Parking Authority could no longer meet. I'm going to stop there for a second because that's just what this organization tried to do with the bonds that they hold in the city's name now. The resolution of the Parking Authority's default will signal to the financial markets that Scranton is on a road to recovery. Meanwhile, the parking garages, two of which are in dire need of repairs, will be greatly improved through better management and upgrades. Modern on-street parking meters will be installed over time. Yeah, we're still waiting, aren't we? We choose NDC because we knew they saw the same incredible potential in the city as I do, said Mayor William Cartwright, who made it a central theme of his mayoralty and to straighten out the city's finances. With NDC, our partner, I am sure we can build what we've already accomplished and really supercharge the downtown's revitalization. From Seattle to Washington to Ithaca, New York, NDC has been pioneering public-private partnerships since 1980. Using its innovative American model to revitalize struggling neighborhoods as distressed communities will struggle in the aftermath of the 2008 economic crisis, NDC has stepped up its efforts to provide cities with an alternative to private assets. And it goes on and on. This entire statement is posted on my Facebook page, so you could read it there. But you get the gist of this, right? So I gave you the press release from the agreement in 2016. I gave you a statement from the president CEO of Grow America 4 months ago saying how financially wonderful the company's doing, but yet you, the taxpayers of Scranton, had to shell out $250,000 extra a year. I've also reached out to some business investigator in some mainstream media outlets that could take this investigation into the next level because, like I said, there are some other concerns when it comes to what just happened here in Scranton. Not just in Scranton, though, in other entities that Grow America has had their dealings with. So we'll see where it goes, but I don't think this is the end of hearing about it here in Scranton. As a matter of fact, I think since the Scranton taxpayers paying $250,000 more a year for the at least the next 3 years and then another 6 years after the 7 years after that with who knows how much because they're going to reevaluate Saturday parking and see where it stands. It is currently 3:43 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Somebody texted in, what does Mayor Page have to say about the parking bailout? She's the one who negotiated it. Oh, and then dumped it on city council's lap last minute without giving them the full, well, actually a seat at the table to begin with, and then the full information, just saying, you know, it's doom and gloom if you guys don't act on this now. And this is what I'm telling you is the best deal for the city, without even looking at it. And it's their job to dot the I's and cross the T's on that. And thankfully, two of them, McAndrews and Schuster, did exactly that and voted no last week, which brought it up for a vote this week, which did away with Saturday parking fees because they originally wanted Saturday parking. But again, just the metrics that this company is going to lose $72,000 because of no Saturday parking. Well, how do they know that? Because there's never been Saturday parking fees. So how do they know how many cars? Have they done a study? They just don't know. And when they asked the individuals that were there at the caucus details about how many people park on the street during this time and this day, how many people park in a garage, how many people park here, they really didn't have that information. And you think if you're coming to a city with your hands out, but again, they have that leverage. They have that card to where, hey, we go in default, it's in your name, right? I mean, if someone's renting a house from you, if you own the house and somebody leases your house and they're renting your house and they say, hey, we're just not going to pay you rent anymore. And then you can't pay the mortgage. Well, who's the one that loses? Yes, they have to move. Yes, they're inconvenienced, but it's you that loses. It's you that has your credit ruined if something goes wrong and you fall months behind and you miss payments on your mortgage. That's kind of the whole thing here in a microcosm. So it's interesting that that was one of the text messages. Somebody, the same texter said, lousy negotiator. I guess a Harvard education isn't the degree it used to be. Listen, the hardest part of getting, and I know this for a fact because one of my kids were recruited by the Ivies and I visited them all. I was at Harvard. I was at Yale. I was at Brown. I was at UPenn. The hardest thing is getting into them. And thankfully, you know, even though being offered scholarships and being offered spots on their sports teams, he chose to go in a different direction, which was the United States Naval Academy. So the hardest part of these Ivy schools is getting in. Once you're in, that's why they're circulating, recycling these nimnuts out of graduation, out into the world. And hopefully, and it looks like it, employers are starting to take note because of all the shenanigans that have gone on, especially with the Palestinian support and everything like that, Hamas support and everything that's going on there. Oh, I'm looking so she can't even manage pools of splash pads properly. Yeah, I hear you. It's coming up on 3:50 here. It's time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. We'll talk about some more local stories and get you some interviews from today. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Before I move on, and we're going to move on, I was just playing the video that I grabbed up from yesterday from the Scranton City Council meeting. Listen, a couple of weeks ago, they had this big thing about decorum in the meeting space of people addressing other people, people acting disrespectful, people saying things they shouldn't really be saying in a public meeting forum, directing comments to others rather than at the chair of the meeting. So they go through this whole thing, and the chairman, the president of the Scranton City Council, apologizes that he did not control the situation better. He did not gavel what was going on. Well, then last night, the president of the city council, Schmerl, makes comments about a speaker saying, oh, they never grow up, after his time was up. This is just totally uncalled for. Let's see if I can get it for you here.
A law firm for Philly. If I let the mayor run like a little lap dog, never question her intentions or outcomes.
Thank you.
Embrace everything.
Thank you.
Good luck with your project.
Thank you. Never grow up, do they? Anyone else?
So here's the thing. The speaker went a couple seconds over his time. And if they go over the time, he did gavel. He says, you're over your time. He goes, sir. And Mike Mancini was the one that was speaking. He did say, you're going over your time. And the speaker was going over their time. But you know what? They can shut the microphone off. And you can't be heard then. And you move on. But then for him, as the president of the Scranton City Council, turn around and make a comment like, oh, they never grow up. Where does that fit into the apology that he made a few weeks ago, last month, about him not controlling the meeting properly and people being disrespectful at the meeting? Respect is earned, and it starts from the top. And if you're going to act like a child yourself as the president of the city council, then how do you expect the people there? How do you expect others who are coming to address it? How do you expect anyone watching this on ECTV to respect you or the process or the event itself, a Scranton City Council meeting? So if you're going to lecture people about decorum and how you need to apologize because you didn't control the meeting properly and shut people down when they should be shut down, you were doing the right thing by telling this individual they were over their time. The two options you have is to shut the mic off or suspend the meeting until control is gathered, which you can use the police officer that's sitting in that room. But to sit there on a hot mic and say things to your fellow board members like, oh, they never grow up. What do you expect these meetings to turn into? You're a disgrace to the city of Scranton because, again, this was just addressed weeks ago. and you're acting like a perpetual child yourself as the president of Scranton City Council. You know, I would say, you know what, you left because your signatures and you weren't running. Now you're running again as an independent or whatever the scam you got going there is, because that's exactly what it is. Why don't you tell the people really why your signatures weren't good? And say, instead of saying, well, they're valid, but somebody didn't see them make the signatures or whatever your nonsense excuse in the paper was. And you know what? You bring this attention to yourself. If you want to have the position of a Scranton City Council president, you should act like it. And you should lead from the front. You are doing nothing. You barely understand the concept of the rules of your meeting itself. And that's evident every time you sit at that dais and run a meeting. And then just weeks ago, you apologize for not keeping decorum in this meeting, not curtailing disrespect at that meeting, and then you yourself, mere weeks later, utter that disrespect from that dais. You're a disgrace. How people could vote for you in the city of Scranton, and I'm not a Scranton voter, so it's up to them if they vote for you or not, is just unbelievable, because how you have that position, I would assume because no one else wants it, but man, and you ask yourselves, why is the city of Scranton in such shape when it comes to, you know, paying extra money? Because the promises made in 2016 by this organization were nowhere to be found. So, you know, that's all I have to say about the Scranton City Council meeting and the parking issue here. I think I've said enough on it, especially not being a Scranton taxpayer. But man, you people who live in Scranton, you got to hold these people accountable, because you're headed down a path that's just makes me shake my head. With a minute left before the top of the hour here, I did get some text message about this new Wilkes-Barre sinkhole that grows slightly. It's quite a task here. Somebody said there was a river running through it. With all the rain we had and then more rain expected, and when we were having that heavy rain 2 days ago, I said, you know, it's not good for these sinkholes. It washes more of the under earth away from it, but they really need to start looking into why this is happening and why is it happening all of a sudden in such a short time span. Listen, sinkholes in our area happen all the time. But what's the cause of it? Because if this is going to be a reoccurring issue throughout the area because of something, let's at least get in front of it and figure it out. And listen, George Brown and his team there is up on this. They were there at the scene the other day. I did see some state officials there as well. And that's good, but you know, I did get some text message on it. Am I going to talk about it? And they said a river was running through it. With all the rain we've had, I wouldn't doubt it. It's 4 o'clock here at WILK. We'll be back.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding: Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.